You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is going on, Real Ass Dudes, Little Baby Rattlesnakes? I'm your host, Luis J. Gomez, another edition of the Real Ass Podcast. Real Ass Dude, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Joan Jett of Comedy, Howard Stern of MMA Radio, and now officially the ultimate minority, as dubbed by Giannis Pappas on the Ron and Fez show last night. Another name to throw to the masses. Oh, look who fucking joins us. Oh, man, you were so lucky. I was still doing the intro song. Ooh.
I mean, the timing couldn't have been any better. He didn't miss a word. He actually spoke before me or Zach.
That's hilarious. Chris Scopo's here. Zach Amico's here. International superstar Zach Amico. And we have. I'm very excited to have this guest back. I think you are the only third-time guest of the Real Ass Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Smith. Is in studio.
Thank you. I have something prepared.
When you,
it's an honor and a privilege to be the first try. I couldn't finish though.
This song, I picked it just because
I think me and you should start a podcast. Just me and you, we podcast and we recap.
Were you cut off a joke? Where I'm about to.
I mean, you gave it back to me. All right, so there we go. Two jokes that didn't happen.
We just cut each other's jokes off. That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Where we recap each other's podcasts.
No, I just say we recap all the podcasts we did together of the week and say what our best podcasts were. And just in case we did any podcast the other one wasn't a part of, we make sure we're keyed in on that podcast as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Smith is here.
It works better when we're not together.
So look out for Dave and Lewis's new show, Where's Jay?
The chemistry is there, I promise, guys. I promise. Me and here's one thing I notice about me and Dave when we host shows together. It never starts off good. It really does. It always kind of starts off a little bit weird. You know?
Maybe that's it. We're slow start, but then we dig our way out with like great cardio.
Chris Scopo, you were late today, very late today. We ended up starting a little late, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was fucking an accident in the bridge, and I left 11:45.
This is what only Lewis does, and I'm the only one who really calls him out on it ever on podcasts. Lewis was late today. Lewis showed up like a couple minutes before you were.
That's not true.
I was late for the podcast.
Right, I was 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes late. Okay. Literally. I mean, that's not.
We both said we were going to get here at 12 for other. We both said we were going to meet here at noon. We both got here about a half hour late.
Hold on. But the podcast was starting at 12:30. I said I was going to try to get there early because Kumia was here on an earlier podcast, and I wanted to. I wanted to bump into Kumia like a boy that I had a crush on.
Oh, Anthony, what are you doing here?
It's so weird that you're here right now, Anthony.
Oh, this old thing. I guess my body looks awesome in this shirt. Sure. I mean, it was at the back of my closet.
Do you
want to
get a lift
with me? So, do you do a podcast?
What? It really was that. Can we not play like we're cool? That was legitimately the reason.
I just said we were both going to be here at noon for a thing. That was me playing it like I'm cool.
I just sat in the room listening to Screwdriver, hope he would notice.
Listen to me.
Anthony just walked in and he was like, oh, great. Another one of my psych or chick stalkers is here.
Fucking Zach was just watching American History X wearing his KKK hoodie. Going, oh, hey, Anthony, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Let's not play it cool though. This is the Real Ass Podcast. We don't gotta say we were trying to come here early for a thing. We were trying to come here early because we were little girls and we wanted to bump into Anthony Cumia. And he forgot his phone. So I say God wanted us to bump into Anthony Cumia because he came back.
He came back and it was like, yeah, you forgot your phone. Sure, Anthony Cumia. I'm good too. Yes, I had a lot of fun.
He pulled a Costanza.
Yes,
he left
something
so he could come back.
I enjoyed your podcast also. You know, Anthony Cumia.
So, Scopo, I'm not giving Scopo shit for being late, Dave. See, I love having Dave on the show, and he does give it to me better than most other people.
We know.
Sexually.
King of, get those ankles behind his head. You're the king of being late and then giving someone else shit for being late.
That's not what I'm saying, okay? Chris Scopo
If this was YKWD, there's Scopo would be here 45 minutes early.
Well, I had to set the studio up.
No, it doesn't matter, though. Even if you didn't have to set
Bobby Kelly calls Chris Scopo at 5:45 like a fat rooster. And just, yeah.
Dude, we got a ton of Devin Day down at the studio. You better be there 2 hours, dude.
Dude.
What the fuck's up, dude?
I hear that jump.
And so, yeah, obviously he's not going to be late to that part. No one's late to that
podcast. Dude. Bobby, it's a whole farm full of Bobby animals.
Bobby's like, the funny
dude.
Thing is, he's like, he is like one of the most, I think, generous to like young comics, like guy, like established guy out there. But there's also like the Nazi side of it, too. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Bobby will like make sure you're there on time. Yeah, you do.
I don't know what you're talking about. Bobby Kelly
is... If you sneeze in the Hammer Fisting podcast, you're going to have to move that thing. That's going to be the newest podcast on this network pretty soon. When
if I sneeze one more time in the studio and get germs on the table. But here's what's happening with Scopo. Scopo's trying not to laugh and trying not to say anything, but he doesn't realize there's a camera right in his fucking face right now. I'm going to send that clip.
He's holding up a sign to me. I completely agree, but I can't say anything.
Bobby hits me. Please,
my
dude.
Face is saying something different.
Scopo's blinking a message.
I have Morse code in my face right now.
So, no, here's the point, though, okay? And I know you've said this
no,
before.
No, but
You go, you're like, yeah, but you're not Bobby. You're not Bobby. That's
one fucking time it's true. One
that's
time I said that, I said that to him, and he bitched at me, and I've never said it since, because I was like, all right, that's a fucked up thing to say. I tried to get, I left my house at 45 minutes to hear from here to Astoria. That'll be pretty fucking easy to get here. There's a fucking traffic
saying,
on that bridge.
That would never happen with YKWD.
Well,
it had to be there early.
Now that I take the bridge traffic into account. It's a funny detail.
You don't get that. By the way, you don't get that. Now, let's just forget me.
Nah,
forget, like, in life, okay? Now, and I get it, dude. I'm half busting balls here, but I am half being serious about this because you do show up to this podcast, I'd say 75% of the time late.
Not even true. 75%. You show up. Exactly. We show up way more late
than
I do.
I'm not talking about me. Wait.
See, that's, by the way, right there. That's literally what Lewis won't get.
But no,
let me just make my point. Completely cuts the legs out of the argument, and he doesn't get that. We go, dude, you show up late all the time. He goes, you show up late more than me. He goes, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Saying, no, you can't.
This is my
you
podcast.
You can't show up late more than someone to something.
I can do whatever
and then
in my
give
podcast.
Them
and
shit
I don't,
for showing
all,
up
I
late.
Don't show up late more than Scopo.
Yes,
first
you do.
Of all,
well,
you just
said let's go to point.
Let's go to the person who's always here on time. 50-50. Sometimes Scopo beats you here. Sometimes you
okay,
beat
I'll
Scopo
take
here.
That.
You're both always late.
If you're look, if you're
but you have a family and you have a life, I have nothing. I might as well just sleep. I have
truth
nothing
is,
else.
Look, dude, if
all
you
have
real,
is like Fray LaRock on DVD.
What? By the way, that's the best reason to be late I've heard so far. Family, really? That's what drives you out the door. No, look, it doesn't matter what you have going on in your life. Being on time is just like a thing you should do. Don't get me wrong. I am a person who, and I'll say this, right? Like, I'm late to podcasts all the time. Me and Lewis are probably both late to Hammer Fisting all the time. Now that we're doing Legion of Skanks live, that's kind of changed. But look, I'm late to, you know, to podcasts all the time. I'm not fucking late to spots ever.
I'm never late to spots.
So I do prioritize. It's not a mess. So there is this thing in your head where you're just kind of like, hey, look, if we get there late, we'll just start a little bit late and then record it. Whereas like a stand-up live show, you're like, you got to be there right at your fucking minute. So I'm just saying, I get that. We're like, we all kind of treat it that way. But if you're late all the time, if you're on time to the podcast every week, I think you have every right to tell the people who you're bringing on your podcast, like, you guys got to be here on time. But if you're late, Lewis,
no,
you can't really give people shit.
Yes, I can, okay? And I'll tell you why, okay?
Because it's my podcast.
Number one, because it's my podcast. That's just flat out number one. It's because I spend my time making this shit happen. I don't make you do anything to be on this podcast except show up. I respect you as a performer on this podcast, and I say, hey, dude, show up on time. We're going to go and do this. I don't ever actually really give somebody shit. I've never actually really been mad at Scopo for being late. This is all half in jest and half busting balls. I'm not even pointing out the fact that he's late as being the problem. I'm pointing out the fact that he can be on time and the fact that he would never be late for Robert Kelly. That's kind of the point that I'm making. So it's really a separate issue.
It's about that time that you said.
It's 100% about that
which
time.
I'll tell you 100% is something that we all... Look, dude, I get what you're saying. It's fucked up because you kind of slipped and said that. It's something that is in everyone's mind, but at the same time, I think
that
guys
I'm not
like
Bobby Kelly.
Like,
everyone's constantly thinking
no matter what you're thinking about, whether it's
everyone that goes to see you at Foxwoods,
whether you're like the amount of people.
Wait a minute,
in the
we
show.
Bought tickets for Wednesday. We should have come for Thursday.
Too funny. Everyone who sees you run on the treadmill, everyone who sees you do comedy, everyone, whether it's good or bad, everyone's just constantly aware of the fact that this is not Bobby Kelly who I'm dealing with right now. No, but I'm just saying, look, dude, there's no question of like we've all like. I don't know, whatever it is, like open
oink,
for
oink, dude.
Different level.
Sorry, comments. Here was another farm animal.
Well, no, on YKW,
I'm saying you're
I have
aware
more,
of who the
not
the
even that, but
like,
I have more responsibilities on the show. I have to fucking
no,
get there. I have
Bobby
to set everything
would,
up.
Bobby would box your head off your shoulders.
No, that was not true. Last week, I was running late, and Bobby didn't get pissed off at me.
Well, I'll tell you the other end of that. I think is well, that I mean, comics like me and Lewis. Always, and this is not just us per se, but guys at our level, I think often have like a chip on their shoulder about kind of like being like, whatever it is, like when we're like just starting to like headline now, we're just starting to kind of have like followers on podcasts and shit like that. And if you can like provide any opportunities for someone else or you're like bringing someone to open for you or this, when you get a vibe of they're kind of like, well, yeah, I'm opening for you. I'm not opening for like a real headline. It is a and then a lot of comics will have this thing. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying like in general, a lot of comics like when they're kind of like, you'll get this vibe. Look, me and Lewis have talked about this before. If Legion of Skanks is out doing a show somewhere, someone will, an open micer from some city will come over and to be cool with Jay, you know, in front of the three of us, they'll be like, yeah, isn't Lewis like a big dummy? Like try to bust balls with him.
Yeah,
it's like a thing where you're like, hey, buddy, instead of like trying to worship Jay and bust Lewis's balls, because Jay, by the way, is going to leave here and never remember your face again. Lewis is a guy who helps out lots of young comics.
Yeah.
And is just closer to the level that like you're more on the level of like he you might open for this dude. You're probably never going to open for him. So it's just and whatever. We have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder.
Not as long
like,
as you two are still fucking alive.
Yeah.
Well, look. Here's
the truth is neither of us open for Jay
Dave,
at all. Anymore.
I think Dave does you know bring up a good point, and it's chip on the shoulder is a hard thing to say because I notice it with guys like Bobby Kelly and Big J when I open for them, it's not even a chip on their shoulder. They let you know that they're the fucking headliner. And it doesn't come, it's not in them. It's not because they grew up this way. It's because Patrice or fucking whoever the dude that Bobby was opening, Dane or whoever it was,
Colin. Yeah.
They let them know that they were the fucking headliner. And it's this weird trickle-down effect. And we talk about this with raising my son all the time. We kind of have this thing in us to mirror the people that we look up to and mirror the people that we respect. So I even a little bit with me and you, dude, we'll go on the road.
The room thing.
Yeah, the remember room the thing. Whatever it is.
He opens the blinds. I'm like, dude, fucking close the blinds. It's my fucking room.
Well, you are.
It's my room.
I mean, that's you. I mean, I know, like, I'm not even, like, saying, because you said what you were saying before. You were like, I'm half speaking in jest, half serious. And I know that's true. I know there's always, like, humor in what you're saying. But you are very just like that in general. I'm not saying, like, you're not like them. Like, you're different than Jay. It's a different dynamic. But it's like, you're very, like, I mean, even just the thing just now saying, like, I'm not saying for better or worse. What you just said about like, oh, it's my podcast, so you can I don't have to show up.
I know
up on time.
I'm half kidding, but I really do mean that.
I know, right? And I would just never say that on my podcast on this network to one of the other guys. I just wouldn't say
you
if
should.
It's my room.
But let me say
no. I don't agree with that.
Here's the thing, dude.
I completely disagree.
If Jessica ever came on your podcast, and for whatever reason it is, it should just be known. Like, look, dude, I in the logo,
it's
I had
part of the problem with Dave Smith. No one doesn't know
of
that
course.
It's my podcast.
It's not same thing. In my logo, it says Lewis J. Gomez is Real Ass Podcast. So in
there's
reality, I get a little bit more. There's a Puerto Rican rattlesnake in the fucking
yeah,
logo.
Dude. It's your fucking headshot right there.
Yeah.
Like obviously, it's
that's
your
the best
podcast.
One you've had too. That's a fucking great headshot. Right
you're
there.
Talking right into that microphone. I think you're doing the hat.
But right. I, you don't
there's
think
no
that
no reason to take the.
I
that rattlesnake definitely has HPV. It's a great drawing.
I don't know if you're making the point that you wouldn't say it or you don't feel it, but in reality,
no, it's not saying.
If Jessica ever got out of line with you, or what you felt was out of line, you could draw your lines wherever you want. You know, that is what it is. You have a right to go. Oh, fuck, Jessica, it's my show. I've put all of my time, all of my effort into marketing and creating this show. I think you have that right.
There's
to do
100%.
That.
There's no
and
question.
By the way,
hold on. But you're not. You're literally. This is what you're not arguing what I'm saying at all. 100%. I have a right to say it's my show. It is my show. If I want, yes, I can do whatever I want with that. I'm saying I would never say to Jessica, I can show up late, you have to be on time. I would go, if I was going to demand that of her, I'd be like, I have to be on time too every day. That's just my attitude.
But no,
I'm just saying that's
you're,
my thing.
Misconstruing what I'm
no,
saying.
No, I'm not.
Though. Yes, you are.
Well, listen to my point. So I'm saying if I'm in a room, which I literally was 2 weeks ago, if I'm in a room where I'm headlining, this is just my nature. So I'm a little bit of a pushover and a little like non-confrontational in the sense. And also just a little like more like, I don't know, I'd be like, if the feature was like, dude, I'm cold in here, and even if I was like, I like it like this, I'd be like, if it's not a problem, I'd be like, oh, okay, we'll turn it down a little bit. But look, if the feature tried to be combative or confrontational with me, like, we're turning this down, dude, I don't care who you are.
Which is what Scopo
then
did.
Then I might get, then I might
wait,
get.
Wait, wait, like, wait, what do
we do? What's this? It wasn't even about the temperature. It was like 11 a.m. at this point, and the room was pitch black, and I was awake. I wasn't leaving the room. I wasn't doing anything. Scopo sleeps.
Because, 11 a.m.?
Listen, Scopo sleeps till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's who he is.
He's
fucking,
a kid. He's up at 4:30.
Yeah,
dude,
I know.
I'm singing Yo Gabba Gabba songs.
I'm up by 9.
This is how we share with our friends. This is how.
I'm up at 9 a.m., period. Like, but I didn't get up at 9 and say you got to get up. I waited till like 11. It was pretty late.
Well,
like,
the first 2 hours, you were watching Arnold Schwarzenegger and jerking off.
Yeah, I was watching Arnold and fucking watching.
Lewis does jerk off right in the room. We should throw that detail.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was like, all right, dude, I got to get up. I opened the curtains and Scopo fucking got angry. And like we were college roommates. Like our parents were paying equal amounts
there.
Okay.
Well, that is insane.
Exactly.
Chris is out of his mind.
So then I was
Chris
like,
out
no,
of his mind.
Scopo,
that's not what
go
I'm talking
fuck
about
yourself.
At all.
And by the way, the point I made was,
oh, no, no, no. If I want to get up at 11, I'm not sitting in pitch black.
And
that's
by the way,
insane.
I don't even think I was headlining. The point was,
no, it was
my room that
Scopo was opening for me. But I'd have been on my third newspaper screaming about Obama already. He'd be up and bored.
I was featuring for Bobby, and the guy at the club that booked the club asked me if I'd share my room with Scopo. Otherwise, he was going to get a local host. If I didn't agree to share my room,
that's not
which
true.
Sucked.
Yeah,
yes, it
time,
fucking
though.
Was.
Dude, Bobby booked me on the show.
You're wrong, dude.
No.
Actually, you want to see the fucking email from Ryan Broth at Comics? You want to see the email? I'll show you right now because I have it.
Because Bobby goes, okay. I guarantee you if you said no to that and Bobby was like, I still want Scopo to host, they would have got me a room.
Maybe they would have gotten you a room, but
right.
I'll show you the email from
you
Ryan
Broth.
You want
to see the email where he says both of you guys weren't that funny? This is like from a couple weeks later.
Here, look. I'll show you.
Are we just pulling up emails now?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's see. Filthy Friday. I want to fucking show you this, dude.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. But if Bobby booked Bobby,
Bobby
booked me,
probably would have gotten you a room.
He would have gotten
me
a room if you would have been like, if you'd have been like,
but
no.
That's not the point. You were a guest in my room. It wasn't like I said yeah because I didn't want to be a dick and say, oh no, I'm not going to share a room with Scopo. Honestly, I think that was the time where Bobby, we had a conversation about it before. So he's like, do you mind sharing a room with Scopo? I was like, no, let's do it. I don't care. Because I'm a nice guy, and I don't
give
a fuck.
Yeah, but here's I'll tell you in that dynamic what's a little bit different, okay? Because there's one dynamic, and I've had this happen before too, right? Where you're on the road, and you just, like, you bring an opener. Like, they're like, hey, come headline this weekend. You go, hey, can I bring an opener? They go, yeah. Okay, sometimes they want to know who it is or whatever, but they're cool with it. You bring this guy. It's like, that guy's crashing in your room. Your pay was X amount of dollars and a hotel and a flight, and the hotel is your hotel.
Your pay.
That's part of what you're getting paid. Like, or some deals, you have to pay for it, you know, and they pay you a little bit more money. Like, that's your pay. It's your hotel. Now, there's another thing, and this is what, because this has happened to me before, where say something like, right, like you're opening for Bobby Kelly or something like that, and I've had dynamics like this where they'll go to the feature, they'll be like, you know, like maybe someone I'm friends with or something like that, they'll be like, hey, if Dave like MCs or something like that, can he crash in your room? Like, is that cool? Like, you're dynamic too, and you go, yes, that's cool. Then the way they present it to me is they go, hey, can you come MC Friday through Saturday? It's X amount of dollars per show plus a room with Lewis. So in a way, like even though you did say yes, they present the gig to me as that's kind of part of my pay now too. It's like,
yeah, but
I'm
he's not
put
some
up.
He's not some stranger that like, you know,
what you're trying to say is I'm more respected.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Right.
Listen,
I don't want to spend that much time talking about this. The truth is,
I'm going to need 45 more minutes.
I'm half kidding. And by the way, I want everyone to be on time for the podcast, including myself, every single week. And if everyone was on time and I was just showing up every week, these guys would have every right to go, hey, dude, you're a fucking asshole. We're showing up on time every week. Why are you doing this? I would never go like, oh, it's my podcast. Be there on fucking time. That's not what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm trying to create some sort of order here. Like, I showed up literally 2 minutes late today for the podcast. If you showed up 2 or 3 minutes late or 5 minutes late, I wouldn't fucking care at all. But it does end up being 15, 20 minutes late every single week.
I agree with you, and I will say,
is that every single week?
Look, I do, by the way, just to balance out, because I really mean this, just to be fair about like what I'm saying about, you know, whatever. Like, I don't mean it come off like I'm saying like I'm a really nice, thoughtful guy, and you're like a dick to other people.
Such a cunt. If anybody knows us,
no, that's
cunt.
Not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in that particular area, I'm less confrontational and more and less like abrasive. But at the same time, it's the same quality that's part of one of your big strengths, which is that you do really care about the podcast. You put a ton into it. I'm not denying any of that.
I thought you were
and you're very demanding.
My bench.
You're just more demanding. Incredible. incredible. In general, I almost feel incredible. Like he made me say incredible. Like he made, like you willed those words into my head. I was just thinking muscles and Jesus. But no, so I'm not saying your shit. But you are very much a person. I just feel personally like, because I'm thinking about this, like now that I'm headlining a little bit, and like it's true. I've opened for all these people. I know exactly what you're talking about with Jay. With this, I know your dynamic that you have with someone like Scope. Even though I'm not there, I just know
but
the dynamic.
But it's a trickle. Like I said, it's a trickle down.
I don't have it. When I'm in a fucking room with a feature, I'm just very conscious of a, like, dude, we're hanging as boys. This is our room for the weekend. It's like, we're here. It's this. It goes, what I get already is like, it goes without saying that, like, I brought you for this week or, like, this is the thing. And I'm not saying there couldn't be something that I find disrespectful. I fucking snapped on Brancatelli when we were out. Me and Lewis were out at a gig once, and Brancatelli just lit a cigar in the middle of our hotel room.
Oh, that,
without
yeah,
lighting anywhere, I lost my fucking shit. We don't smoke or anything.
It's like, Dave was so mean to him, he quit comedy.
No, he just came back. I love Brian. And
so,
I don't smoke.
I mean, look, there's also different types of people. Like, in reality, no, what Bobby and Jay do, 90% of it is just hazing.
It's different.
And that's what I'd say 98% of what I do is just hazing. It's me fucking around. It's when Scopo will take a shower, I'll kick the door open, take a picture of him naked. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's a whole different fucking thing.
But my point is, even just the little stuff like I'm the headliner, that type of shit, half of it is... It's the passing of the guards. It's you get the right to avenge. I've been doing comedy for 10 years now. I finally get to headline shows. I'm finally going on the road, and I'm the fucking show. So, yeah, there's certain points where you go like, no, dude, it is my room. It is my green room. It is fucking my car ride. These are my things that I've earned, and I'm sharing them with a young guy.
I definitely feel who that. I agree with you in the feeling. I just don't need to like tell
but
you. This is
but
my
that's
room.
All. But that's. I don't think there's a right. I don't think that one way is wrong and one way is right. I think there's a way to do it. I think you know. There's been times where people take it too far. But
I agree with you.
I think that's just not your personality type. Like Keith Albersett, I guarantee
saying,
you
like, yeah.
doesn't do that. Keith Albersett just fucking hangs out with the guy on the road. But Nate does it in his own weird way too. You know.
Like, I think everyone and I don't also. I am. In a weird, and that's all we're talking about. I'm not is personality types. Yes, I agree with you on that. I don't think I am kind of ball busty. Like I'm not against like, you know, like being ball busty at some point in the weekend of like I don't know. I'm the headliner and you're the feature of some in some capacity of just like ball busting. Like maybe they'll bring you back in 8 years when you're ready to headline or so. You know what I mean? Like whatever. Like
they
but
did
I'm
with
not,
Dave.
I'm not actually. I was patient for 8 long years and now I'm killing it over there. And now these 3 clubs are working me pretty regularly. But so you know what I'm not like saying anything about that. I'm saying there's a difference between that to me, ball busting, something like that, and actually making the temperature of the room the one I want rather than the one they want, or actually being, you know what I mean, like something tangible where you're
well,
like,
that was
oh,
something
no, no, no.
that's literally
well, the problem with the blinds. You know what it was dude. It was first thing in the morning. It was like the first thing I settled. You know how when you wake up, you're not the fucking happiest person in the world.
Scopo's not
so
thinking it's
it.
Noon already. He's
you wake up and you remember you're Chris Scopo.
Yeah, I had a lot of shit going on in my head. It sucked.
Beautiful day. Fuck. God damn it.
So me. God
dude,
damn it.
I had a dream I was a homeless kid in Mumbai. Things were going so much better.
I was like, hey, I got a shot.
I had a rat as a friend.
Dude, I was eating shit out of garbage cans in the street.
Oh, fuck, that's hilarious.
I wasn't waking up and scrubbing shit stains out of 4XL underwear.
shit.
I lost weight. It's 2 now.
No, I meant Bobby.
He was talking about Bobby Kelly's underwear.
Zach is fucking, you were telling me, and I don't listen to enough of this podcast, but Lewis does speak very highly of you on this podcast, and it's actually a good sniper on this podcast.
He's a sniper.
He's a great fucking sniper.
Can you like maybe like write some of this down and translate this into your stand-up a little
no,
bit?
No, I can't. I've tried already.
That would really help.
I'll tell you right now,
I mean,
man.
It's all recorded. There's video of it. You can relive the moment.
Maybe just play this on the stage.
Yeah, why don't you listen back to the show and then use some of these ideas?
Guys, for this check spot, I'm just going to play a highlight of my greatest hits on a Real Ass Podcast.
Hey, you know what? Can somebody put together a Zach Amico's greatest hits of the past 35 episodes of the Realist
and when
podcast.
He meets somebody, it's K-Vazi.
K-Vazi, can you put together?
Maybe my mom was right. Maybe
or can
you
just
me,
wait
Lewis.
6 months till I'm dead and release it then?
6 months, please.
You should get Zach should go on YKWd.
I'm trying to get him. No, I'm going to get him really on, but on. I want to get him on with people that he knows too.
Yes,
I don't want to throw him on.
Then I'm not allowed back on. So
no,
I'm just kidding. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. All right, look, I'm going to get into this, dude. Podcasting world is set on fire by the recent comments by Howard Stern.
I didn't mean what I said, Fez. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you.
Yeah, you're in.
I thought you want to publicly apologize to Fez.
You're in hot water with Fez right now. If you want to look at one of the cameras, can Dave look into the camera and give an apology to Fezzy? Yeah. Which one?
This one right here. He's good. Oh no, sorry. That one right there.
That one right there.
All right, Fez. I just want to start by saying that I've been for years a huge fan of your show. I love what you and Ron do. I think you guys are the best one too in radio. And even though obviously podcasting is the future, radio is a dying medium. I think it's amazing what you do. I have nothing but respect for the gay community. We were at Anthony Cumia's compounds. The drinks were flying. Anthony's pouring drink. There might have been something in the drink. I can't say there wasn't anything in the drink because there's lots of parts later that night that I don't remember that well. So whatever I said, you can't even really hold against me. But I really do.
Shitty apology. I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm getting there. Don't worry.
But you're prefacing it with a lot of stuff. It's not my fault.
This apology needs a lot of prefaces, okay? But it's going to get really, really sweet once we get into it.
This better end with you literally spreading your asshole into the camera.
Let me just tell you, within 25 to 45 minutes, this is going to get to be a really good apology, all right?
Dave does everything extremely long-winded. God.
You got to hit every angle. Otherwise, it's just not a real
politics
apology.
Next.
Now, when Obama was nominated for the Democratic...
Just say I'm sorry. We got to move on.
No, I was actually very surprised the next day to find out that... I was very surprised that he was most mad at me because I didn't really think I did anything over the top. But it did bother me that he was so upset. So I really am sorry. I'm very sorry.
Your apology is that you're mad at Fez.
I'm really pissed off at that. No, I really... I would never want to make Fez cry.
Do you think he attacked you for saying that because you're the weakest link in the group and he's...
No, but I'm kind of pissed off at you for asking that question, to be honest. I don't think anything like that had anything to do with it or anyone's ever perceived me.
Oh, my God. I thought my thoughts were being picked up by the microphones.
Smartest, best looking is usually what I'm known as. But sure, yeah, weakest. All right,
what did you say, Dave?
Well, I was contemplating a nice feature gig for you. That's gone. And I was going to let you choose the temperature of the hotel.
All right, so look, let's fucking...
What did you say?
No, because Joe just doesn't...
I don't know. I'm sorry.
On Legion of Skanks, I don't know. I guess we went into a whole
thing. Joe, I was like, where's that voice coming from?
God.
Now your thoughts really are talking.
Joe Harari, everyone, producing the show. Dave, they made...
Dave's Jew God is fucking talking through the...
They made a bunch of gay jokes.
I'm not sure exactly what I said that got him so angry.
Is it
gay jokes?
Can I have some more pot?
I don't have any.
Oh, I have... Can somebody... All right, we'll get into this. When I play the Ari video, we're going to smoke some pot while we watch the video. That's what we'll
do. Just announce it, though. You know,
what?
You're supposed to do it in secret.
Dave smoked pot on camera.
No, he was off camera.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jokes. Ha ha.
Yeah.
So, listen.
Thanks for calling me out. I got a family I got to call.
Ari Shaffir and
yeah, your son James.
To call my son James.
Ari Shaffir and Howard Stern are having what I guess you would call a war Jew war. What do you want to call this?
How did it start?
They're all Jew wars, if we want to be honest.
Ari went on Rogan's podcast.
So no, Howard started.
Yeah,
technically,
it's a war. Jews launching words. Minorities foot soldiers. What do you think?
Howard Stern started shitting on podcasts, just in general, just saying one day on his show that podcasting is kind of like a stupid art form. There's no point to it. It's just a game. It's not like a real career. So Ari went on Rogan's podcast and basically said Howard Stern is out of touch and he doesn't really know what's going on. You know, called him old or whatever. And then Howard Stern, I guess, played some of that clip on his show and then for 25 minutes attacked Ari Shaffir, saying nobody knows who you are. What the fuck?
Well, real fast, I think Howard's point is useless by playing Rogan's podcast on his show.
Well, the point that Howard had made, because a lot of people were like, well, you heard about Ari Shaffir through Rogan's podcast, so that's kind of contradicts your point. But Howard Stern said Rogan kind of brought the audience to his podcast, which, truthfully speaking, Howard Stern's kind of out of touch because I think Rogan's podcast strengthened his audience and made his audience grow exponentially.
Dude, he's not, I mean, look, I literally only listened to, like, I got through about 15 minutes of the Stern rant. I just found out about this from Lewis yesterday and then just heard, because you said you wanted to talk about it, so I was like, oh, let me see some of it. And, I mean, dude, it's like Stern is a genius. I really think Howard Stern is brilliant.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Stern as a radio guy.
He paved the way for everybody.
But forget even that. I just think he's brilliant. His vision for radio, business, funny, all that stuff. I think he's a brilliant guy. But he was so wrong and so out of touch. It was like every point he was making, it was like this archaic philosophy that just it was just not with the times. And also, dude, it reminded me of just, you know, this dynamic where you'll just have something like, you know, like maybe there's like you, I take Lewis, like before you settled down and had a kid and shit like that, like Lewis used to like really have game, man. Like Lewis really fucking could go up to a bar, talk a chick up. You were really, really good at that.
I was very good at prying my fingers inside of girls within an hour of meeting
them. The truth is we make a lot of rape jokes, but Lewis wasn't a rapist. Lewis was just the type of dude who was just, you went to a bar and he was like fucking in the bathroom, next thing you know. Yeah. He was like, Lewis is just fucking this chick in the bathroom. He just
most of the time,
but
they were conscious and wanted it.
By the way, it's rubbing off your, you I can see
rubbing
Burstein
off on them too. That was my thing. They wouldn't even notice.
Your fucking ability with
them.
Every
time they look down, they go like, dude, are you rubbing off on me? Like,
dude, yesterday, I wasn't even hitting on a chick. I was just talking to her for a second because she couldn't find something. And then I stopped for literally
a funny
half
person
a second
to talk to.
I wasn't looking for you.
Fucking contradict that.
Bernstein,
you know
fucking
why Zach's a great sniper? Because not only does Zach have great snipes, he's got great camo. Like, I forget he's on the podcast, and then he just snipes me and like, oh shit, I thought we were in safe neutral territory.
He blends into these fucking multicolored walls. And then you go like, oh wait, that's a human being right there.
Is there a silhouette of spiky mohawk on that wall? When did Eddie Murphy have a mohawk? Oh, Jesus.
So I'm sorry.
Bernstein, I wasn't even hitting on a girl. I was just talking to her, but she couldn't find the bathroom or something. I stopped for literally half a second, and then Bernstein just fucking jumps in there and starts attacking her. He goes, it's hunting season now. And LOL.
He's too aggressive, though. That's the problem with Bernstein. Oof. Here's
Bernstein has, he does,
he's disconnected from how to do it, because I was the type of guy like, oh, we should go fuck in the bathroom. That's me. Like, that is very much in me. Bernstein comes off as like a serial killer when he does it, and he still plays the numbers, but he's not going to hit those numbers more. Yeah. What Bernstein should do, and I did this the other day with him, I took his phone and I started texting a chick for him, because he's like, what should I say here? I'm like, give me your phone. And I'm just gaming this chick easily, just like so easily. And he's like, dude, I'm going to give you my phone every time with chicks. I was like, Bernstein, you should have a dozen girls' numbers a week that you're just playing with on the phone, and then eventually get them to have a drink. Slow roll it, have drinks with him. By the end of the night, you'll fuck at a way higher percentage if he plays it that way than instead of going up and trying to be the aggressive meathead fucking dude. It's like, it's playing the numbers, yes, but within, in it's like sales. Within any sales structure, you could just play the numbers and just ask for the sale, or you can have the soft touch and understand your strengths and your weaknesses within that process.
And I think the fact is you always kind of like you had an ability at that, or not maybe not ability, like an understanding or whatever it is, but you always had that and with sales too. So it doesn't make
sales
a lot of sense. That
it is
same,
100%
it's just the same muscle.
All you're doing with sales in that is you're asking for a yes or a no.
But let me just make the
and it's pulling the yes.
Let me just make the point I was making by bringing this up, because I was just saying, so like there's someone like because this is what I was saying about the Stern thing, so like someone like Lewis, right, just has that ability there, right? And not to say like and not like, so there might be somewhere out there some genius, like a brilliant, some, you know, fucking nanophysicist, you know, who's like, you know, I don't know, whatever, splitting subatomic particles and figuring out things that we can't even, like, literally our brains can't even comprehend what this guy's doing. That guy may, you know, just still not get how to talk to women, right? Like, say something like, he may, you know, like, Lewis's ability to do that might, like, put that guy to shame. Like, he's like, I'm this fucking brilliant guy, but I just, someone else could just have an insight into one thing. And you'll see sometimes, like, just when brilliant people get something really wrong. Like, you know that dude, do you hear that dude Ben Carson? You know who he is? He, like, might run for president. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about gay people. He's getting in a lot of trouble for this recently because he's talking about gay people. Like, he said it's a choice to be gay. He said prison proves that being gay is a choice. And then he compared it to bestiality, I think. Or maybe he didn't compare it to bestiality, but he went like, oh, if you legalize gay marriage, now you got to talk about legalizing bestiality. You know, like, this guy, he's just this, like, religious conservative guy who does not get it when it comes to, like, kind of, like, gayness and things like that. But by the way, he's a genius. He's a neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins. He's, like, a world-renowned. Like, my point is that sometimes someone could be brilliant, but they hit this one topic, and they sound like a fucking idiot. And to me, that's what Stern's whole rant came off like. He's talking about how no one can make anything in podcasting. It's got to be radio or TV. He goes, if you're doing a podcast today, he goes, throw it in the trash. You're just sitting in your room talking. Go to terrestrial radio and get a show. Like, dude, that's crazy. Lewis, we've been doing comedy for years. The only traction we're getting as guys starting off is off podcast.
Podcasting is your shit, though. Listen, it's also another thing. It's like, Dave, you literally made 9 points there. So
I know,
one point at a time, please. Dude. I literally have ADD already, and I'm trying to like respond to 15 things that you just said. Yeah, dude, you're right. And I think that a lot of what it comes down to is you get so, I mean, he's so rich. He's so disconnected from this small DIY world of podcasting. And I almost compare it, podcasting now, I compare it to the alternative comedy scene, a kind of explosion that happened like 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, yeah, dude, there was a traditional route of going through these processes, which was terrestrial radio. Now, obviously, you can get on a Sirius XM or whatever else, and dominating these markets and winning over 40 markets and then becoming the king like Howard Stern did. But that literally isn't even an option anymore. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have the option to do that today. That technology has kind of overtaken that.
Well, there's been a revolution.
That's not even going to happen.
The thing you're talking about, scene he's talking about, there's been a revolution, and he was talking about it as if this revolution hasn't happened.
Well, exactly. That's
like,
it.
It's
people have taken this medium, and it's the same thing with YouTube. It's the same thing with all the – it's a very weird integration of technology, and they said, we're going to take it, and we're going to make it as good as possible. And you can't tell me that somebody like Joe Rogan, who gets over 1 million downloads a week on his podcast – I mean, that is measurable. That
Joe
is successful. Joe makes
a lot of money
off his podcast.
It's the biggest thing he's ever done in his career.
In fact, he's been on huge things.
This is the biggest thing he's ever done.
I would say that there are, and I don't know this, but I would say that there are more people making money podcasting today than there are making money in radio, like hosts. I don't know.
Well, when you talk about terrestrial radio, I just know there's
I know people that have top 50 podcasts that pay their bills off of their podcasts. I'm just saying, I don't know that there's 50 radio hosts around the country that are fucking
paying their bills.
I'm not saying just paying their bills. I'm just saying, like, I don't know the numbers, but I just don't know that there's.
Well, here's what I don't know.
I don't
that
know
that's
any
true.
Radio hosts that are killing it. There's only a handful of dudes that are killing it in certain
markets.
Look,
I do radio, and we know as comics, like when you go around and like do random clubs in different parts of the country, a lot of times they'll have you go to some local terrestrial radio show to promote it. Like, so, you know, I work with some of these guys, and no, the far majority of them are like some dude who's probably got, you know, a few hundred listeners. He's probably making $500-600 a week, and it's like a shit gig, and it's some local nothing radio show. Now, for every one of those, there's like a million podcasts on that level that are just nothing and no one's listening to. I do think at this point there's probably still more like terrestrial radio shows. But I think what one of the things that I think is what you're kind of getting at is that where we are in the transition right now is that there'll be, say, someone who had – look, on MSNBC or like on some news show on TV right now, like right now it's on, there might be some show that's getting 50, 60,000 people watching it. Whereas there might be some podcast out there that's getting 500,000 people listening to. So there are podcasts that are way bigger than shit that's going on TV. I'm not saying everyone is.
It's also the other thing is like another, like you gotta understand what podcasting has become. It's like, it's not just like, oh, this is my job, I'm going to make money. And there are people who do it. There's people who make a lot of money podcasting. We make money in our podcast at this point. You know what I'm saying?
A lot.
Not a lot at all. People who make a lot of money podcasting, but that's not even why I do it. I never started podcasting so I could start making a ton of money off my podcast. I started podcasting to strengthen my relationship with my fans. Yeah. I started podcasting so I can find new fans so they can come out and buy tickets to see me live.
You started because it was fun. At first it was fun, and then it grew into you getting fans.
No, I'll tell you, it was fun.
When you started with Legion of Skanks,
listen to me. I started podcasting because it was a way that it could work with my stand-up, okay? If I wasn't a stand-up, there is zero – maybe now I would, but because I'm so involved in podcasting for years. But if I never was a stand-up comedian, I would have never got into podcasting. Zero chance, never in a million years.
It's all, for me, 100% agreement. I think that the getting into politics has kind of changed a little bit. Now I like that thing, but everything was always, before maybe the last year or so, something like that, was just about stand-up. It was just to help the stand-up. All I fucking want to do is stand-up.
So,
I'll do all this other shit just so I can
do it's almost
that.
Immeasurable. So to go like for me, right, I don't even know, without podcasts, I don't know that I would even have a career today. I have a few thousand Twitter followers. I have a few hundred real fans.
Well, in a sense, me and you are in a very similar situation.
Yeah, 100%. So I go, so to go like, I headline on the road.
No, not to say you haven't had some success as a stand-up comic also, because you're in major comedy clubs, you've been on television, you've done these things, and that is off your stand-up. It's not off. I'm not saying you haven't gotten any traction.
This is the point, though. I don't even know that I'd have that if it wasn't for getting on to YKWD. And if I didn't take an MP3 recorder in my living room and start doing hammer fisting and then invite Bobby Kelly on episode 6 and say, hey, dude, let's talk about UFC. I don't know if any of that stuff would have ever snowballed.
Dude, this is great. You should do it on my network. Cock-a-doodle-dude.
Cock-a-doodle-dude. So to say, I mean, I've lived it, okay? Stern doesn't understand. As a young buck, you know what I'm saying? Stern is completely disconnected from this, but I've lived it. I almost attribute all of my success to podcasting. I mean, a very, very, very large measurable portion of what I have today is because I got onto these podcasts and I started talking into a microphone and started to get these fans, started to get just a little bit of traction and things started to snowball. So it's just, it's not the same thing. I'm not trying to be, I'm a podcaster. I'm Luis J. Gomez. I'm the real ass dude. I'm the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. I'm an entertainer. I'm a personality. This is one of the many ways that you can get a piece of me in your life every single week.
Well, it almost reminds me of like what he's saying, and because we're coming at it, we're on such a different level. Obviously, like you said before, like we're on this grassroots thing, and Stern is in an ivory tower. I don't mean that like shitty. I just mean he's like in a penthouse somewhere. Like he, you know what I mean? He's not starting at the bottom. But the idea to say like he was making the point of Rogan was on TV for years and then built up this following and then brought that to a podcast. He was like, if I went and did a podcast right now, it'd be huge because I built up a fan on terrestrial radio. And he said that about like Corolla was on terrestrial radio first. You got to do that first. And it's just like this thing where you're like, well, no, that's kind of like when UFC first blew up, people used to say, oh, the boxers are the only ones who are big pay-per-view draws. And you're like, well, that's the only thing that's existed for a long time. So those are the people know. But that's not what's going on now in the future. If you're telling me you have to get on television, you can't start from Twitter, you can't start from YouTube, you're just not aware of what's going on. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's the thing. I read a blog. It's not even debatable. They listed 100 millionaires off of YouTube.
It's in fact much more
millionaires. No, way more millionaires.
No, but I'm not even saying what
off
exists.
Of fucking YouTube.
I'm not even saying what exists. Remember when Rogan made this point? This was a brilliant point. Me and you both loved when he goes. By the way, when they had this big boxing thing on ESPN, the big thing with him and that boxing promoter, they had that argument, and he goes, by the way, he kept saying all the stars boxing has, and he goes, let me tell you what all your stars have in common. They were stars before the UFC. They were Mayweather. They were, you know, with the exception of Pacquiao. Every boxing star was a star before the UFC. It's always like they're bringing back De La Hoya or Bernard Hopkins or like someone who's like, you were big.
What do you mean by a star before?
They were known before anyone knew what the UFC was. Before the UFC got popular, they were famous already.
Mayweather?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Mayweather's been
a star since the 90s.
No, dude,
he's been a star since the UFC wasn't sanctioned. Mayweather's been a pay-per-view buy.
But he didn't get big until
he's bigger now because he's still
undefeated.
No, he
became Money Mayweather. He became like the biggest, baddest motherfucker of all time.
7-8 years ago, that's it.
He wasn't a household name the same way he is, but anyone who knew boxing knew he was like one of the pound-for-pound best.
Oh, you're saying in boxing, though.
Rather, look, his name went up, but he was a star. He was kind of the only one left and stayed undefeated. But the point Rogan made is that all the new stars, and maybe not all, but are so disproportionately out of MMA. And what the point I'm saying, what Lewis is saying, all these new millionaires coming off YouTube, but if you forget how many millionaires are out there, if you compare the amount of young people who are blowing up through online versus TV, there are so many more. All the new ones are coming out of online. Like, the future is online, dude. That's
2005 was Mayweather's first pay-per-view. So you're right, it was...
10 years
it was about 10 years ago that he started. But I heard about Mayweather like
maybe he was amateur. Maybe he had some amateur stuff.
Well, he fought in the Olympics, I think, 96.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Because he was very well known as an amateur.
Yeah,
so
he had
titles. I got to look at his career.
No, that's what it is. It's the Olympic stuff. Is he was known for that.
Went pro in 96.
So yeah, right after the Olympics.
Look,
he lost.
No, but there's no question. He wasn't even 5 years ago as big as he is today. Probably today he's humongous.
I said 5 years ago he was.
No, but now it's the max, dude. The money he's making, the numbers, like. He's at the max, but it's a lot of that's also because he's undefeated and he's the last one left. What boxing is looking at is like, so okay, they signed this fight that needed to happen. Great. Now what? What happens after Pacquiao Mayweather? We got two options. Mayweather walks off into the sunset.
Well, they hope they kind of, I think they hope Pacquiao wins, so there's going to be a second, and then if Mayweather wins, there'll be a third.
Oh, that's great. And that then at best you're setting up two more fights. Whatever. I don't want to talk about fights.
I mean,
forever,
I literally have no
the
idea
only point
how
I was
we could have possibly
is,
gotten into Mayweather.
I was just making the comparison.
This is like
MMA,
the mind of Dave Smith. Literally, you think the way that I think on acid. Like you'll start talking, and then it will end.
I'm not
going to
lie. Lewis on acid, I think, is like the smartest I've ever seen. I genuinely mean that. I love the way Lewis is when he's tripping.
Maybe you're tripping.
No, but do you get the just comparison I'm making between kind of like where you have the older method and the newer? Like I'm saying, all the new things are coming out of this. Like I'm just saying, internet versus like TV and terrestrial radio. Like all the new talent is disproportionately coming out of the internet. It's coming.
The point that I was trying to make before. It's kind of reminds me of the DIY comedy scene because it was like, you know, a few years ago, people were doing it in bars and nobody really took it seriously. And people were just kind of like, oh, whatever, all these guys are doing these shows in bars. Who gives a shit? And now all of the dudes that started off in that scene are the dudes that have taken fucking over, you know? I mean, if you really look at it, like half the guys, then don't get me wrong, they all got into the clubs because they got really good and they were able to just cross over and just become fucking real deal comics. But all the dudes that started getting heat kind of came from that alternative bar scene, or at least half the shows they were doing were, you know, set up by some other young comic in the back of a bar. So that's kind of what podcasting is. And Stern goes on to compare it. He's like, oh, as a comic, can you just do comedy in your bedroom? Is that what it is? Because that's what podcasting is. It's not. It's just an unfair comparison. What you do as a young comic is you go to do open mics, which aren't real shows in front of real audiences. You pay the $5, you pay for the drink, and you're practicing. And honestly, I do agree. I actually said this recently. I said this on Ron and Fez. Podcasting is just radio open mics. I will never deny that. But what will happen, the same thing in the comedy scene, those open mics started making money. They started having really good guys that were fucking crushing it.
I don't know.
Those open mics turned into these popular bar shows.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what a podcast
cabin,
is. It's a bar show.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's this thing that really, if you, it almost crosses into this like alternative-y open mic. They just put their friends up territory because it was comics running the shows. So when I say open mic, not anybody can get up, but it was really just friends putting up friends originally. And then some of the shows just got really good, you know, and that's what's happening with podcasting as well. Some of them just got really good. And some people are now like Anthony Cumia and Stand Up New York Labs and Creek and Cave and Riotcast are figuring out ways, well, how can these motherfuckers make money? How can we twist it so now we can squeeze some of the dollars that are going into radio, which is literally pointless. Going on these radio shows, you mentioned it before, doing radio, I've never had anybody show up for a show after doing a radio show ever and say, hey, dude, I heard you on fucking Jim Jam in the morning, and you were great, dude. We came out just for that. However, I have had hundreds of people come out for Legion of Skanks and YKWD.
Well, I've been places also where like those guys come out, you know, maybe because they're like that, like that radio show has a big draw, but they come out because they're fans of that radio show. And the whole goal is like maybe my stand-up will be so great that they'll become a fan. And then next year when I'm here, they'll come back out. But a podcast, it's like you make a fan. They stick with you. They're like with you every week. And, you know, I get what you're saying. I think the bar show is a great comparison. But it's like, you know what me and you used to talk about with Jerry Seinfeld said that thing in that book I Killed, where he's like, you know, being a comic is like being a pirate. He goes, you're just a pirate from day one. He goes, there's no training. There's no nothing. You're a pirate. You want to be a pirate? Go be a pirate. It's like, you know, you're a surgeon. On day one, they're not like, hey, go do surgery.
There's a lot of shitty pirates out there,
yeah,
okay. To be honest with you.
No, look, there are.
I'm out, guys. Take it easy.
But that.
What, you got to leave?
Yeah, I have a hard out at
1:30. Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, I'm out.
Sorry, buddy.
Take it.
Dude,
you left angry.
Why'd you leave so weird?
What? Because I'm going to be late for work.
I'm sorry. Well, why'd you fucking just get up and leave weird like that?
Oh, I didn't mean to. I was just trying not to interrupt.
I literally thought like an emergency, like something just happened. Now.
Yeah,
like,
dude, Jesus Christ. That was very strange.
No,
was it the thing I said about pirates, Dave, dude? It wasn't personal.
Yeah. Dave Smith will never stop talking if you just fucking don't jump in there. See you later, buddy.
But I just think there's something to like, no, dude, look, your podcast, it's like the whole measure, basically what you're saying, and this is true to some degree with the bar shows too, but it's about like how popular this thing is. If when you're doing Rogan's podcast is not the same thing as just grabbing a mic and sitting in your house or whatever Stern was saying. And some people are doing that. You're right. Someone's doing an open mic somewhere with one, literally telling a joke into a mic that he paid $5 to get into to another guy who paid $5 to get in there too. But he is doing comedy. It might be the shittiest level of it, But it's like the only difference between that and what Louis C.K. is doing is that there's more people there. They give a fuck and they're paying. It's the same thing with podcasts. Like, it's a microphone. You talk into it. I know it's not in the Sirius building, but if we talk here and we do Legion of Skanks, we keep this kind of private, but the numbers have been growing like really crazy over the last year. We're now in numbers where it's kind of, you know, there's...
It's unbelievable that we're not in the top 40 every day on iTunes. There's something going on. Here's the thing. I know... I just want to say the side point. It actually bugs me because I look at the iTunes shit every day. And Legion of Skanks has enough downloads where I know other podcasts that are in the top 50. Like, I know we beat them in terms of downloads and numbers.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I know we have more social media activity.
And it's cool.
I know, but we're not there.
Yeah, I don't understand that shit at all. But I'm just saying, it's like, dude, like, so you have something like that, right? Like, we have a popular podcast. Well, it's not all of the Jews, but obviously whoever's on top is going to be Jewish. But that's just what we do. But I'm just saying so there might be some radio show out there that's, you know, like some red eye radio show at 5 a.m. that has like no viewers. And that, you know, like, why is that not a bigger thing? Who cares where the fuck it's recorded? It's fans listening to your voice. Who fucking cares? It's about how many of them and how much they care.
Let me play the Ari Shaffir response.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Dave was going on. I was losing it.
Are you on fucking drugs today? You are fucking...
No, am I really being that bad?
No, you're just... You fucking... No, I love it.
No, it's not that you're
bad.
I just tune out.
You gotta...
This is how I am.
What you do is you make, like, a string of points as opposed to, like, one point and then letting other people respond to that one point.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I love it. I love you. I love having you on the show. Here's Howard Stern, I guess the end of what Howard Stern said, and then here is Ari Shaffir's response. Can we get this on, I guess maybe in post, can we pull this up? Can I pull this video up?
You want to put the video on live?
Well, yeah, so people could see it.
Yeah, there should be an HDMI cable right there.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Where's the HDMI cable?
It should be somewhere over here.
Right there, and I just do that, and then that's that? Right there?
Yeah.
Boom, done. Let's do it. All right, so this is Ari Shaffir responding to Howard Stern. Which I thought was fucking, I thought was great. It's so funny. Like, look, Ari is becoming slowly but surely one of my comedy heroes.
Yeah.
Just a couple things that he does. Ari Shaffir, there's a few guys that I've watched do things.
Sorry. I really respect Ari because he was already established in L.A. and wanted to get funnier. And that's why, like, he wanted his funniness to come here instead of most LA people. They just want to get on a show.
Yeah, he could have gotten more famous in LA. He was like,
he wanted to come here.
He got to a
certain
level and he wanted to get great. But what makes me a really big fan of Ari's, and what makes me respect him, it's a very similar thing. I respect Giannis Pappas for this. I respect Bobby for this a lot. He just fucking said fuck the rules. He's like, I'm just gonna do it my way. I'm gonna be funny. I'm gonna just fucking be the guy that I'm gonna be. And not let the industry or the fans or anybody dictate what the fuck I think is funny. And I'm going to go and just do what I decide to do and fuck them. Like, the fact that Ari Shaffir is shoving a chihuahua up his ass on Legion of Skanks, it's insane.
Well, Ari's got that. And also just the fact that Ari's like, he's got this quality about being like fearless, man. That's what I really admire about Ari. Like, he's like, I really feel like great. And some people are great comics and they're funny. But they're completely safe. You know what I mean? Like, they don't take
they don't
any
risk
risks.
Risk,
and yeah. I love that Ari's fucking fearless. Dude, when that TSA guy got killed, you remember that? Random guy killed the TSA?
Yeah.
I was doing a show with Ari the next day. And, you know, Ari's been, like, bashing the TSA for, like, months and months and months. Like, he fucking hates the TSA. And we're doing a show together the next day after that, dude. Ari gets on stage. They introduce Ari Shaffir. The first thing he says, he gets on stage, he goes, hey, did you guys hear about that really great thing that happened to the TSA? And I was like, motherfucker. Like, that's just, he's just a fearless dude. I love that.
That's
respect
it's a ballsiness.
That.
And this, when I compare it to Giannis, Giannis moved to Miami, took that gig. And it was, everyone thought it was a bad idea. You know, everyone was going like, dude, I guess he's just giving up on comedy, huh? And then
you didn't. You were kind of like believed in it. You were
well,
like,
yeah, I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I said, fuck it, dude, I get it. Like, look, going and getting real TV hosting experience, I know it's a small market. That's an invaluable experience. And he was making legit money. And it didn't even matter because he went, he just headlined on the road. He made the deal so he can be off on Friday nights and Saturday nights to headline wherever he wanted to. He got a half-hour special while he was in Miami, which just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, no, but
he came
the
back
thing is
and
that
he was
it does
in a
now.
Better position.
It does now. I mean, this is the thing. Did you ever see what's his name? God damn it! Like,
yeah, I saw him.
Great comic. I'm blanking on his fucking name, but he gave the keynote speech at New Faces like a few years ago. It's on YouTube.
Tom
I think.
Papa.
No, it wasn't Papa's year. It was the year before Colin Quinn gave it. God damn it. He's a great Marin? Comic. I'm literally just blanking on his fucking Marin? Name. He's literally one of my favorite comics. Dixon. I mean, Dixon. Fucking Oswald.
Patton Jesus. Oswald. Yeah.
Patton. Oswald.
Pat Dixon.
I just literally, because yeah. Pat. That's
he's just my roommate.
Figure fucking
my
a sleeping chick on stage.
He wasn't even.
This is what you do to chicks.
Wasn't even
this
invited to
comedy.
Perform at
this
the showcase.
Is how you, because, this is how you make him funny. You finger it into him.
Just showed up at Just for Laughs. But so he was given this, and he was basically saying, like, if you've never listened to it on YouTube, he just talks about how everything in his comedy career, everything he's learned went out the window. He was like, you know, there's this whole system of you do this, you do this, you do this, and then that's what happens. And it's kind of, it's what Stern was saying. It's what you're just saying right there. It's like these systems just don't exist anymore the way they did. You know yeah. what I mean? It's not the traditional path anymore. It's over.
So,
and people mastered that, and they feel like, oh, I'm the best. You know, Stern mastered terrestrial radio.
Here's Stern.
It's over.
Here's Stern, and then here's Ari Shaffir responding. Do we have the video up so the fans can see it?
Yeah, it's up.
All right, cool.
Nobody gives a shit about you.
Start doing my podcast different day.
Podcasting. No, I understand it perfectly. It's fun. You want a podcast? Great. So you have some audio on your website that nobody goes to. I should invite the guy on and just fucking yell at him.
Hi, Mr. Stern. It's Ari Shaffir, and I wanted to thank you so much for talking about me and terrestrial radio on your program today. I totally appreciate your advice that I seek a day job on terrestrial radio. But as exciting as waking up at 3 a.m. and sitting at a desk in a terrestrial radio station may seem to someone from your generation, it just does not seem as appealing to the rest of us. But I do appreciate your kindness, and I thought I'd repay your great advice with some advice of my own. I understand that many folks from your time period don't spend much time online and are probably unaware of just how amazing the internet is. So I'm going to give you a quick tutorial, show you how to use a great website called google.com. So you go to your desktop, which is not really your desk at all, but it's actually a word they use to describe a computer screen. Open up your internet browser. It might say Safari or Google Chrome, or probably you're using Netscape Navigator. Click on that by pressing the button on the thing that looks kind of like a mouse. Then type in google.com. See? There it is. Google.com. You can ask it any question in the world. Like, what is a podcast? Or let's try this one. Who is Ari Shaffir? See all that stuff that came up? Look. There's a link to my upcoming special, Passive Aggressive, which premieres this Friday night at midnight on Comedy Central, or my podcast, which I think you'd really like. It's all long-form interviews with no annoying commercial breaks right in the middle. So I'm pretty busy, and I'm going to have to decline your request to come on your radio program. But if you'd like to be a guest on my podcast, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, I'm always looking to help promote some of the older guys with good stories. It's totally mobile. So I can come down to the office that you work at some afternoon. We can bang it out. Again, thank you so much for talking about me on your radio show. It's truly an honor.
Wait, does Ari have another special coming out?
Yeah.
Another one?
Ari Shaffir, fucking killing it. And that was a great response.
That was an excellent fucking response.
It's just, look,
God damn it.
It's the best way to handle it. Like he said, I'm not going to come on the show. Most comics, and I can't even fault somebody for being this guy, are opportunists. They would hear, ding, 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 ding. I want to have him come on and yell at him the whole time. They would call their agent and manager, like, dude, get me in that fucking thing.
A lot of agents or managers would call you.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting you on that. Hey, this is the best move, you know?
Yeah. And Ari says, no, and this is what I'm saying about just kind of playing it the way he fucking plays it. And Rogan had him on his show, and he was talking about the video with the chihuahua up his ass. And he was just saying, look, dude, he was saying why he loves Ari. He was like, you're the guy who just doesn't give a fuck. And at the end of the day, if you get fired from these gigs, right, the better story years from now is, oh, dude, it's a funnier story. You got fired from the gig. You realize the gig didn't actually really matter. And then you get to say, hey, I was fucking funny. Funny, it's a common theme that comes up within our group of friends. I kind of coined the term funny first. Like, as long as it's funny first, no matter what. If you want to say fucking nigger and fag and kike, I don't give a shit.
Whoa.
Dude. If you can make that funny.
Dude, kike?
I don't care about any of those words. I don't care about any topic. I don't care about anything.
Well, that's one of the most amazing things about comedy. Really, you can talk about your nutsack or the war in Afghanistan or anything in between. And it doesn't matter. It's if you can find this force that is funny within there, then you're golden.
Scopo cannot.
Scobo can talk about anything falls to the Afghanistan war, yet to stumble across that force.
I'm still waiting for this to be funny.
That was pretty good.
That was a good one.
It was better.
That was one of the funnier moments on the show.
It was better than just doing the heckler thing.
So Ari, everything that he fucking does, man, he's gained a lot of respect from me. You know, like it's not that I didn't respect Ari at all, but when Ari first moved here, in my mind, Ari was just kind of fucking Rogan's dude. You know, I remember Beatrice kind of was like, yeah, that guy Ari is a little bit weird. I think she was mad because he said she should abort.
Way to throw her under the bus.
And be honest,
publicly,
she said that
his breath stinks.
He said that she should abort James.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Wait, to her face or like,
to me? And then I told her that, and then I think that she got like annoyed, and then she was just like, she wasn't a fan of Ari. She just thought he was kind of an asshole. And since that time, like literally, I was talking to her yesterday about Ari. She was like, I fucking love Ari. She was like, he's so funny. He's such an awesome guy. Like Ari, when we were in between apartments, like let us use his apartment for 2 months when he was out of town. Like he's a fucking
not that guy at all. The funny thing is, like, it's like I remember
he's
actually
a generous, awesome
I remember what
dude.
Happened is he was on Hammerfest or something like that, and like B was like just told people she was pregnant. She was like a few months pregnant, and Ari was like, "Can you still take care of it? Take care of it. If you can still take care of it, I mean, look at you. You're a nightmare. Don't ever care." You know, he's like doing that and being hilarious with it. But by the way, we'll be like holding the baby, and James will be like 8 months old or whatever, and you're like, hey, Uncle Ari didn't want you to be born, and Ari's like, yeah, seriously, don't tell that to the kid. Like he's not like a dick. He's like, yeah, don't say that, dude.
Ari's one of the sweetest, most generous guys as well, and like, once again, just like Bobby Kelly. You know, these are two guys that, you know, neither of these guys did New Faces in Montreal. Those are always examples of guys that I was like, oh no, you don't need to go the traditional route. Ari Shaffir never did time on Comedy Central at all. And now he's got within a year, 2 hour specials, his own TV show. I mean, he ended up doing a Tells thing just last year, but that's when things started to really fucking pop for him. You know, there's guys like that who just fucking say, fuck the rule book, fuck the natural progression of things, fuck playing the game. I had Adrienne Appalucci on a couple weeks ago, and she was another example. I go, she just doesn't play the game the same way as other people. And I talk about being a real-ass dude, and this is a real-ass podcast. I think I need more of that in me, because I think I'm too worried about the game. I'm too worried about fucking, like, I don't think about what I'm going to say, but I'm the guy that when I do say something fucked up, going like, oh, shit, let me bookmark that moment so if I ever need to edit it out of a podcast or on some video blog or whatever, like, let me just make sure I know that because I might get an opportunity at one point. And it's like, no, Rogan's right.
I
fuck
get
those opportunities, man. I think the funny is the more important thing.
I think it's very easy also to kind of be that way, like me and you, but when you first start comedy, you know, you're going into it, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. But then as you start to get into it, like the pressures come on, you know, to be, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I want to get this gig, so I don't want to piss anybody off here. But I agree with you. I think as long as like you're being real with yourself and you believe in what you're like sticking to, kind of, and you work really hard, I think you got to recognize that if you're not gonna suck up, you might have to work a little bit harder to get where you're at. Like, say someone like Kumia with what he just did, he goes, no, I'm not gonna apologize, I'm not gonna do that, I'm gonna go start my own thing. It's like, okay, but there's a lot of work involved in starting your own fucking network. But like what you were saying before, where maybe he'll lose, say maybe 20% of his fans go away. The other 80% respect him more for sticking to his fucking guns, you know?
And they're diehard. They're not leaving.
Yeah. And then we'll build off that 80%. And if you can build another 20%, now you're better than you were before, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do think that's the thing. I think, Lewis, you do have as much... And I know you say that in jest too, but like the real-ass dude thing to some degree is kind of like... It is, like, I think that's one of the things that your fans like about you, is that you do have that, whether even if you're saying you need more of it or not, you are, I think, most comics see you as a guy who, like, doesn't bite his fucking tongue, if so, you know, about things.
Well,
like,
no, I mean, look, here's the thing, the real ass dude nickname thing, let me explain something really quick. When...
It's ironic.
Julian... No,
he's,
not
he's
really.
Fake.
I'll tell you, listen. Julian McCullough called me... a real-ass dude on the Hammer Fisting podcast once, and I liked the way that sounded. I was like, I like that dude. That's it. Real-ass dude. I like
it. Holds right off his beautiful lips.
I thought it started on YKWD.
No? Started Julian McCullough called me a real-ass dude.
To be fair, his midriff was exposed at the time.
So then for like 2 weeks straight, I was like, yeah, real-ass dude, Luis J. Gomez. I was half being funny, but I kind of did like it. I went and bought the domain name. I was like, that's funny. It was real then. For that two-week period, it was really real, right? And then it became me kind of mocking it. And now I've just fucking
That's
rolled
your
with
brand.
It. Now it's everything.
Now you're too deep. You couldn't start over if you wanted
Puerto
to.
Puerto Rican rattlesnake. The Professor, they were calling me yesterday as well. Joan Jett of Comedy.
The Professor.
Howard Stern of MMA of Radio. What?
I'm not going to lie, about three of those I'm hearing for the first time ever.
Well, but The Professor.
I like
The Professor, I've never heard that one
And
before.
The Ultimate Minority now.
The Puerto Rican Rattlesnake is still my favorite.
That's a good one, yeah. Puerto Rican Rattlesnake is funny. That's
funny. The only one I actually like.
Fucking stupid. But if you hear people all the time like, dude, what kind of fucking idiot would have a fucking nickname?
It is unbelievable.
Like, what kind of idiot has seven, you know?
Well, that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Seven
when,
times
no,
the
when
idiot.
Somebody started making fun of me for calling myself the real ass dude, I was like, all right, well, no, fuck you. Now I'm going to come up with seven more. So fuck you. That's the whole thing, man. You can't, like, the people are going to fucking hate, and they're going to find any reason to hate no matter what. So I almost feel like you have to fucking embrace it. You have to embrace the reason they hate you. The same reason these people hate me, or the same reason my fans fucking love me.
Well, just don't, you can't, like, it is a weird balance, but you can't compromise, like, who you kind of are, because then you're like, well, this is the appeal of me. So if I'm not doing that, then fucking, what's the point? Like, I get what you're saying, but it is, I was going to say it's amazing how many, but it's not really true, because it's one out of, I'm saying, every, like, 50 comments on a Legion of Skanks thread or something like that. But there will be that person who just doesn't get that Lewis is being funny with it at all.
No.
Like, I don't even get why they have this one guy on who's just, like, an egomaniac. He thinks he's a real-ass dude, and he can beat everybody up. Like, there is, like, these ones where they just take him completely literally, and you're like, wait, dude, do you not get that we all laugh, like, after he
said,
like,
one guy, he's like, do you know Lewis J. Gomez? I'm a fan of his, but I just feel like he's the type of guy that if it was an issue, he'd just punch somebody in the face right away. I don't find that's kind of a... And there's a whole thread of people. I'm like, yeah, what a fucking hand job, dude. What a fucking... And I'm like, dude, I'm not.
I'm not
the kind of guy that if I get into an argument with you, I'll just punch you in the face. I'm not a violent person.
Well, it's because like we tell like our... I think it's also kind of like because we tell like our craziest stories on Legion of Skanks. And like all the stories
are real.
These
are all stories when we're 23.
But yeah, most of them are from years ago. Not all of them, but most of them. It's also like, I don't know, we're giving you like the exciting stories over the last decade. It's not like... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I'm not
every
gonna,
night
I'm not
we're
gonna,
fucking...
Well, no, here's the reality. Every night, I'd say 5-6 nights a week, I put my son to bed, right? I'm with him before I go out to spots.
I was just really wondering what
but
was coming.
Am I going to tell the story of fucking how I have my son over my shoulder every night and I sing Garth Brooks' Unanswered Prayers to him?
You should. It's touching.
Every night? But no, I mean, look, it is touching. You know, and that's the song. He like every night, that's a song
Never
I sing.
Never knew what love was. It, so
in,
my little boy.
In its entirety, Garth Brooks' Unanswered Prayers to my son, and that's our little fucking thing. But that's not what you're going to hear on Legion of Skanks. It's not even like I'm above telling that on a show like this.
I just feel bad that you singing is like a fundamental pillar in James' life. Like, he's going to grow up and...
I love you.
He's going to grow up and hear like someone actually sing that song and be like, why are they using so many different notes? There's only one note in singing.
What's wrong with this guy's voice?
You just hold that one raspy note for the whole time. Why is this person hitting several octaves?
Let's see. We're going to end the show with a little Garth Brooks...
Well, can I say one more thing? Just the only other thing that I just wanted to get off, because I kind of said to you before the podcast, but the thing that just bothers me, I really do, I love Stern and I grew up on him and shit, and I know it's easy. I feel like if you're almost like, if you're a big Stern fan, it'd be easy if you happen to hear this, like, just be like, oh yeah, well, of course you side with him because you're like podcaster, nobodies or something like that, but I do kind of get turned off by just like the whole thing of like when Stern just starts going like, it's like he just surrounds himself by people who suck his dick. He's this fucking cajillionaire, I know, but then he starts going, oh, what are you, 40 years old? When I was 40, I had $1 billion and a movie and a this and a that. It's like, okay, I get it. But it's also like, yes, Stern, also when you were 20, you were a nobody who made yourself by launching wars at people who were more established than you. So what are you saying? You're automatically right because you have more money or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That just fucking really turned me off.
Dude,
like,
you're really
Ari's pretty successful on the regular standard for people. He's got a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah,
he's pretty successful.
Ari Shaffir is very successful. And look, when you're talking about successful in the world of Howard Stern, no. Ari Shaffir.
Yes, you're right. You got to talk about Oprah or something like that to compare to Howard Stern.
Me and Ari Shaffir are on the same level of success in the world of Howard Stern. You know what
I'm
saying?
Like
it's like a blip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it means nothing in terms of his world.
Absolutely.
But to 99.9% of the other people in the world, the people in the world, dude, even if they don't know who Ari Shaffir is, if you laid out who the fuck he is.
There's famous people in this category like, and the rest of us over here.
Yeah, dude, I mean, everyone goes like, holy shit, this guy has 2-hour-long specials on Comedy Central. He's a man who makes a lot of money for his words. It is something that is extraordinarily enviable, and it's something that a very small percentage of the people in the world get to do. And honestly, Howard... I mean, dude, it's kind of bullyish. It's very easy to go, fuck you, Howard Stern. That's kind of what's happening right now. And I'm a fan of Howard Stern, but it's very easy to go, like, don't pick on this. This is the underdog. This is fucking Rocky. This is the guy who didn't fucking play by the rules. This is fucking you, dude. That whole movie, unless your movie was bullshit, this is you. Well, this is the guy who people weren't going to fucking give a chance to, and he did it his fucking way. So that's really all I got to say about that. I'm going to sing a little Garth Brooks Unanswered Prayers.
Are you going to sing to put us out? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little tired. I might just stretch out.
I'm not going to lie, I'm fucking exhausted.
All right, ready? The other night at my hometown football game, my wife and I ran into
so much better than I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to lie.
There's no raspy voice. Where the hell's his voice go?
And as I introduced them, the past came back to me.
As long as he doesn't sing loud, I think Lewis can sing.
Can't help but think of the way things used to be.
Oh man, he really loves that kid.
She was the one that I'd wanted for all time.
I just feel like if Howard and Ari hung out, they'd get along great. And we could all just be friends.
Make her mine.
They both have the same type of humor and stuff.
Grant me this wish I'd wish back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God.
Ooh, that's where it all fell apart. You were one note away from me being impressed.
Remember when you're talking.
You should have faked a cough or something during that part. Oh, fuck, I was going to nail that.
She doesn't answer, doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Dave, you got any dates coming up, buddy? Anything coming up to promote?
Oof. I did just book a new date, but I don't have it fucking on me. It's
a dream.
Check it. Look for me. I'll be at Comics in May. So I'll get the date to you guys soon. But check out Legion of Skanks for that stuff. Yeah, check out Legion of Skanks. Check out Part of the Problem. Can you?
Guess the Lord knows. Can you sing a little bit lighter when I promote? After all, and as she walked away, woo!
All right, I'm over this gag. Are you promoting
my
more?
Wife. I kind of like this part. And then there, I thank the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God. God damn it, I can't sing that part.
What's your problem, Liz? You're too self-indulgent. You lost me.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to sing the song. I'm trying to put the fans to sleep after the show. I thought it was very beautiful. Anything else, Scopo? You got anything going on?
Yeah, I'm with you. April 17th and 18th at Joker's Wild. You're headlining.
You're there on that one?
Yeah. Headlining. I just said you're headlining.
Let him know.
So I threw it out there that you're headlining.
Let him know.
And I'll be in your room.
Are you sharing my room too? Did I agree to this? Time out. When did I agree to this room?
Well, technically, you'll be in his room. It's we left it under Scopo's name.
Yeah, probably. I probably got to get my card because, you know, he's retarded. and then that same night, I'll be at Foxwoods, too.
Oh, that's right. You're making the ride over to Foxwoods.
Yeah, for the ethnic show. I wonder what nationality I'm going to be this time.
It's so funny they put him on the ethnic show at Foxwoods because he's Italian. He's just a fucking white guy. He's a normal-looking white guy.
I could either be Irish or Greek because I have a little bit of that in me, too.
Is this an ethnic show in the 1820s? Yeah, we got us one of these Italians.
These paisanos over here.
Shit. All right, guys. I'm going to be March 21st. Scopo, you're on that one too, buddy. March 21st. Baron, Comedy Last Resort Comedy in Washington, D.C. Check me out there. Then I'm going to be all over Washington State, Yakima, Washington, the 27th, 28th of March at the Laugh Lounge, 29th Headlining Parlor Live. Sunday night, March 29th in Seattle, Washington. Then I'm shooting over to Tacoma, Washington, Tuesday night at the Jazz Bones Club, Tuesday night, March 31st. Also the 17th and 18th, Joker's Wild. Got more dates coming up at you.
It's April, though. Make sure you tell them that.
April 17th, 18th. Peace. We'll be right back.
That's all, folks.